Welcome back to Beyond the Barbell. I am Blair Morrison.
He is Blair Morrison. I'm Ben Alderman, and we are recapping the regionals, man.
I thought you were going to drop a slick nickname for us right there as you said, we are.
We are.
Glad you didn't, though.
The dynamic duo, Ben and Blair. So cheesy, it hurts.
Regional competitors, but not games competitors.
Not games competitors. As I'm so often reminded by people via social media and
you're good, but not that good.
Yeah, hey, bro, you could be really good, but actually you are embarrassing. But actually, just kidding. We get a lot of support, I think. I think you probably get the same too, right? Like, you get most people just want to tell you how good you did, and you know.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely a positive space for me and my gym. But I've definitely heard the other side of it, mostly from the girls.
Yeah,
you get a lot of shade thrown their way,
right?
Looking a certain way and whatever. I mean, that's a topic we've gone over.
Do you feel like your girls are getting it specifically, or do you think it's?
I mean, I think it's widespread. I know Hannah gets a ton of hate. She's a bigger girl, stronger girl. People don't know what to do with that. I know Steph gets a lot of inspirational stuff where people are inspired by her as, you know, she's got three kids and she's a mom and she's doing like these amazing things with the bar and competing. So I think it's a mixed bag.
Yeah. I think the funny thing is, on the girl side, you know, I haven't got any like body image comments that I've heard back from anybody towards our team, but it's just like, you look at their skill set and some people want to pick it apart, you know, and they didn't even make it themselves. And it's kind of, it's just funny to listen to. And, you know, I just think it's kind of weird how people will spend time criticizing other people. I don't know.
Sometimes it's the way of the world, man.
Yeah,
everybody's got an opinion. Yeah, everybody has an outlet.
Yeah, and sometimes, yeah, everybody does have an outlet. That's true. We have the podcast, right?
That's right. That's what's nice about having the microphone is you get the last word.
Right, yeah. At least the one that's the loudest, right?
That's the loudest for sure.
So, all right. So the regionals, man, how overall, surprise, disappointed, approval? What does Blair Morrison give the regional weekends overall?
Dude, I thought they were compelling. If I had to pick a word to describe the regionals, I would say compelling. You know, it's hard as a competitor to also be a fan sometimes because you're so absorbed in preparation and performance. You know, how is the workout going to affect you specifically? And maybe it's because we went first that we had more time to kind of, you know, spectate and look at the other regions. But I thought, like, man, this was fun to watch. It was really fun to watch. Maybe not each event on its own, but like the progression over the weekend to see how many moves there were on the leaderboard.
There was a nice crescendo to the weekend, right? Like too, at the very end. But like, I agree. Like, it felt like you got more and more wrapped up into it the more you watched, right? And you just, it never kind of dropped off. That drama just kept building.
Yeah. And the final event, man, I might go on record saying that was the best event that's ever been programmed at regionals.
Yeah, I agree.
And it was so, for the teams and the individuals, it was so exciting. It was fast. There was room to make up. It wasn't like whoever's out of the gates first was necessarily going to win. And like, you saw huge shakeups on people who weren't that great of climbers. You know, it was only like seconds separating them too. It was great.
Yeah, and I think that was really, really cool too. Was it wasn't just the people who were maybe not proficient at rope climbs. It was people who felt good about them, maybe rolling the dice a little bit and going a little faster than they thought they could, you know? And so that whole dynamic is really
just how hard to push.
Yeah.
You know, legless rope climbs is one of those things that, I mean, a little bit too much can cost you a lot.
Right.
You know, as evidenced by the Atlantic region, the finale for the men, especially.
Right. So in the Atlantic region, for you guys, if you didn't watch, you probably aren't listening to the show, but you guys probably did watch and you saw Jeff Evans, who was actually doing really well in the workout, right? He was winning the workout.
I think seventh or eighth coming into it. Right?
Yeah. And he was winning that workout, I believe, to punch his ticket to Carson, got a no rep on his last rope climb, right? Because his legs touched together and he kind of pinched his legs together before he brought his hand back onto the rope. And at the athlete briefing, they make that really obvious, like a really, really, really clear that you have to touch, hand back on the rope, then legs. And, you know.
Yeah, I don't think the validity of the judge's decision was in question. Like, looking at the video, you could see, yeah, he clearly pinched his knees on the rope before he brought his hand down. But still, you feel for the guy because he was that close.
And you
ended up like only, what, 8 or 9 points out? Like,
exactly. That would have been enough. He was like finished sixth, right?
In that event.
Or
overall, you mean?
Sixth overall.
Yeah,
he only missed the games by that one event, truly.
But the guy that took his place.
Yeah, Gary Helmick.
Gary Helmick.
Yeah, if you don't know Gary Helmick, well, number one, he's a really, really good dude. Him and his wife, Aaliyah, both punched their ticket to Carson this year. But Gary just was super consistent all weekend. And, you know, it's bad for Jeff that he made that mistake, but great for Gary for just stepping up when he needed to.
Right. He didn't make the mistake. He took third in that workout. I think Jeff ended up falling to fifth. Or something like that. But for Gary and Aaliyah, you know, that's the first husband and wife duo since Matt and Cherie Chan, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. So that doesn't happen very often. That's kind of a special thing for their family. It's really cool. Hoping to reach out to them and hopefully get them on the podcast while we're down there, because that'd be a cool thing to talk about. Like, how do you prepare when you're both of you are going, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, we've got that tentative date with him already, which that'll be really exciting to do. So, I mean, I think also in that Atlantic Regional, you know, you have a couple little things just to throw it out there. But like Nathan Bramlett, a rookie last year who did really good and people expected big things from him this year, wasn't able to make it either.
Dude, third place going into the last workout.
Yeah.
That men's final in the Atlantic was crazy. You had the first two spots, Ben Smith and Noah Olson, kind of locked up.
Yeah.
But 3 through 8. All were within like 15 points.
Right.
Everybody had a shot. It was crazy.
Yeah, and it was really surprising too. Like, you know, you have all those guys there doing that workout, and I watched that workout, and I got really excited about watching the other regions do that workout. And none of them were quite as good, in my opinion, as the Atlantic, because it had the controversy, had the leaderboard change, with the exception maybe of Cole Sager's finish. Right, in the West Regional, because he finished that workout first. But that Atlantic region really set the tone, I think, for that third and final day and that final workout. And every time I watched that event, it was always fun. You know what I mean? It wasn't as good as the Atlantic because of all the drama. But watching even the girls in the Meridian region, which we already kind of knew who was going, you know, it was still really fun to watch because Briggs edged out Thor's daughter and Sigmund's daughter. Right,
like fractions of a second.
Right, so you had these girls just sprinting across, and they all know each other, and you know, you all know that they're tight, and there's a rivalry of some kind.
Oh, they want to beat each other.
Yeah, they want to beat each other. Right, they're all competitors, so it was always good. That event 7, like you said, it probably is the best programmed and best placed workout of regionals of all time.
Yeah, the way it played out, it was a perfect opportunity for people that were just outside, and also it just. I mean, just think how much pressure that must have been walking out for that event. You know, it's like, hey, this is 3 minutes or less.
Yeah,
I want to go. Like, I can't hold back.
Right.
You know, and like a legless rope climb event is always scary because if you pump out, you're done. There's no room for any mistakes there.
Well, and then, you know, just thinking about that, the pressure, and we alluded to it already, but Cole Sager, right? I think he was an 8th or 9th.
Right, he was outside looking in for sure.
Yeah, he had to do well, and he came through, and my boy Cole crushed it, right? Like, he finished that workout in 2.5 minutes, 2:32, and I mean, won it by 5 seconds.
Jumped all the way up to?
Fifth place,
yeah.
Yeah, fifth place, and so he had to jump past Cody Anderson, who's a good rope climber, right? Great gymnast,
you'd
expect that. I mean, his time overall was in the 2:50 range. Right, he had a lot of people to beat, and it wasn't like he beat in order to get that first place. It wasn't like these other guys mailed it in, right? I mean, your sixth place finisher was still sub 250. Seventh place was sub 250, right?
Right. Well, you can talk about that on both the men, more on the men's side than the women's side with legless rope climbs, but really for all the athletes, like just just the confidence to be aggressive on that type of workout. You know, there's a lot of workouts in CrossFit where discretion is the better part of valor, where you really kind of, you know, play it safe and then try to bring it home strong.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. like people talk about negative splits on stuff, and, you know, this is not one of those workouts. Like, the people that had the confidence to be aggressive, like Cole, like Spencer Hendel, like Jeff Evans, you know, he's unfortunately got a no rep, but like, those are the guys that were, you know, good enough to make it.
Yeah. I like those high risk, high reward workouts, right? It's kind of a bummer when they end on that, like in a bad and a sour way, but it kind of just makes our sport a little more fun.
Well, I mean, for the fans, it's awesome. I mean, last year you tasted that, right? The final workout was the 15 muscle ups and then the
no rep that I got in the middle of it.
The squat clean ladder, right? And you got a no rep on the muscle ups and no rep on the... And a no rep on the first clean.
Well, I definitely no rep that clean. That was probably the worst stand up I've ever seen in my life, and I've never done that before. It was just trying
because you were just pushing so fast, right?
And I just wanted to make up for that no rep that I felt was unjustified. But you know what? I haven't went back and watched a video even to this day. So who knows? But those high risk, high reward workouts, right? Can I go unbroken 15 on the muscle ups and then do all these squat cleans, you know, with everyone else, or? You know, can I legless rope climb? Can I run back and forth from the rope to my barbell? Right?
That was kind of an underestimated portion of that workout.
Yeah.
These people that were, you could see in the early heats, didn't really understand that you need to run pretty fast. Like, you lose a lot of time on the run and that you don't need that much time to recover. I mean, I did that workout, the team version of it, with the bar all the way across the stadium, right?
Right.
At the far end near the finish mat, going back and forth, did the same rep scheme, 21, 15, 9, 3, 2, 1, legless. And it took me like under 320, you know?
Right.
So, like, if these guys, 2.5 to 240 is what needed to be done there. And that's why you saw the best guys doing it.
Yeah. And I mean, too, the other thing is these times just got faster and faster. I don't feel like the event records really necessarily moved down that much more, but you had more guys like kind of
pooling around.
Yeah, exactly. We're kind of pooling around after they saw that happen, all those different, you know, times go down at like our regional and whatnot. So we kind of set the tone for.
Well, yeah. And Con Porter in the Pacific, he had what, 227,
yeah.
which stood till the very last day.
Right.
I think Hendel beat him by 0.2 or something like that.
Yeah. Two totally different athletes too, if you think about it, right? The way they're built, you know, just interesting. Really interesting thing to think about. So just recapping a little bit too, in the California region, right? You had two big names, one on the women's side and one on the men's side, not make it this year to the games. And which was, I think, definitely surprising for me. We've talked about it with, you know, for you and probably to most of our listeners. But, you know, Brooke Entz on the female side, she didn't make it this year. She was sixth place.
Right. And she's an athlete whose trajectory has gone up each of the last couple years. Where last year she won the regional, the super regional.
Right.
And then had a great showing at the games and was really seemed poised. She was training a lot this year. She was kind of all over the place though, right? Wasn't she over in
Utah for a while? Her social media seemed like it kind of placed her in a lot of different places this year.
Yeah. But I fully expected her, with this being a heavy regional, you know, the programming was heavy.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like it was going to favor somebody with that type of strength. And honestly, I don't think Brooke performed poorly. I just think that the women in California were loaded this year.
And they were. The girls were on point. You mentioned that Brooke didn't perform poorly. She had 5 workouts in the top 5. Top 5, not top 10, top 5, where the points are nice and high.
Yeah.
Right.
That's impressive. 5 out of 7.
Yeah.
Top 5s.
Mm-hmm. She had a 5th, a 5th, a 3rd, and a 5th. Okay, she had 4 top 5s, right? And then she had a 6th, right?
Wow.
Right. Now she had a 12th and a 27th, right?
That should be good enough.
That should be good enough, right?
That should be good enough. She had one bad workout.
Right.
That's tough.
Right.
Because the girls were loaded, man. Lauren Fisher came back this year and was obviously on another level. Like, she was so impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Becca Voigt, I mean, 9 in a row, that's not an accident.
I got to say, I'm really impressed by Becca, right? Like, I thought for sure, I called it on my prediction that she would be one of the top five girls, but just the way she commanded it, like it was just like, it was her regional. You know what I mean? Obviously, yeah,
she
Lauren
wasn't backdooring in, but
no. Yeah, she did not have to. She did it herself. Nobody else had to make a mistake in order for her to make it in. She's like, I'm making it in, right? So, actually, I think she was closer to Lauren than Pacelli was to her. So,
right,
which is pretty cool.
Pacelli was another one who had a lot of top fives and then a couple 30ths.
Right,
just bounced around. You know, I thought that was cool.
She had two first place finishes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be fun to look across the region. You know, we're talking about Brooke Entz right now, but the guy that didn't make it in our region was Dan Bailey.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of top 10 finishes, right?
Yes, he did.
Did you say he had all top 10 finishes?
I think he might have had one outside of the top 10. So Dan had, no, he did not have one outside of the top 10. He had 1/10.
All inside the top 10. So
all inside the top 10, but only one inside the top five.
Right. Which I would love to go and do the scoring breakdown. Maybe somebody out there in, you know, the web universe can do it for us.
Yeah.
Take the old scoring system where you get points for placings, compare it to the new scoring system where you get, you know, 100 points for first, 95, et cetera, and see how that shakes out. Because I would be willing to bet that someone like Pacelli with 2/30ths would not make it.
Right.
And someone like Dan with all top 10s
would make it.
Would definitely make it.
Yeah.
It seems like the new scoring system definitely favors winning events or placing very high in events rather than kind of staying even keel.
Yeah, you know, and I think that that should play a little bit into people's training, just as a little side note, and we could probably do a whole show on this. I think that minimizing your weaknesses is very important in CrossFit. Like, it's, if you have a weakness against guys like that we're going against and girls that are up against us, it's going to be really tough. But at the same time, if you can't place really high in any workout, it's also going to hurt you, right? So it might be to your benefit.
Start training your strengths.
To start training your strengths. Exactly, right?
And if there is a, I mean, this talks about gamesmanship. Mm-hmm. Maybe you punt an event.
We talked about that a little bit. We, you know, for me, but.
Yeah, you were injured, and that would have been a great strategy for you. It's hard to do that to a competitor, but like, you know, your knee was bugging you after the pistols.
Right.
You know, it would have been better for you not to damage it any further. Just like say, all right, I'm going to take a last place on this pistol workout.
Sure.
Save myself for these heavy deadlifts that I know I can do.
Yeah.
As opposed to just destroying it and then kind of ruining things the rest of the way.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, somebody like Dan doesn't really need our help, right? Like in terms of programming, but we just, you know, food for thought, like Dan, who's top 10 in every workout, but no top fives. Dan might be a perfect person to kind of maybe spend some time working on his strengths, right? Because then he can bump a couple of those numbers up. And even if he loses a place on a workout, not a big deal, right? If he goes to 11th place instead of a 10th place, but he gets two or three more thirds or seconds, right? Because he's been training the things he likes, that might help with this new scoring system a little bit.
Yeah.
Because Dan wasn't even in 6th place, he was in 7th, right? So that's just crazy to me that somebody can finish inside the top 10 in every workout and be 7th place overall. I mean, that's pretty crazy.
I know. And some of it speaks to just the bar being raised even for, you know, higher and higher, not just on the weights you need to lift, but
I mean, the guys that beat him, like Rasmus, who was in 2nd, had 2 finishes outside of the top 10, right? Marcus Philly had 2 finishes outside of the top 10. Christian Lucero had a finish outside, 2 finishes outside the top 10. Garrett, 3 finishes, 1 finish outside the top 10, but then 2 top 10, 2 number, 2 tens, right? So you're looking,
right, these guys are not as consistent as Dan was.
Dan was more consistent, but unfortunately he wasn't good enough in his consistency, right? So he didn't get the points that rewarded points with this new, not new,
yeah,
it's
you
no
gotta be in
new,
the top
right?
5.
Yeah, with his game style scoring system.
More of them in the top 5.
Yeah.
All of those guys that you named won or took top fives in multiple workouts.
Yep. That's exactly right.
You know, and it just makes up the point difference. If we kind of spin it forward, like what have we learned? What have we learned from regionals about the athletes? You know, what was tested the most that's going to carry forward to the games? Because I think we said that this open was probably one of the more interesting opens you know, creativity in the programming. It tested a lot of different stuff, and it was really well balanced.
Yeah.
Can you say the same thing about the regional?
I'm at a loss for words a bit, just because I would like to say, yes, I feel like it was a very well tested regional. I feel like Dave Castro, with the kind of the environment that he wants to test regionals in, that arena style, right? You can't go outside and do like a swim, or adding in those kind of unknown longer elements, those cardio based elements. I think he did a pretty good job.
Right. Well, those are the elements that are not there.
Right.
But historically they haven't been. So you see guys who crush regionals, not necessarily crush it at the games.
Yeah.
Right. Now, some guys translate. Ben Smith obviously translates. He won the Atlantic regional. We expect to see him near the top in Carson. Frazier destroyed the regional in the East.
Yeah.
And obviously he's been back to back, you know, second place finisher. On the women's side, you know, Becca, for being there every year, she hasn't been on the podium, I think only one time, maybe.
Was it 2011 or something like that? Was it the year after you were...
That was the same year I was there.
Same year that you were there. Okay.
But she tends to do better at regionals than she does at the games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lauren Fisher did really well at the games the year she made it. So, I don't know. I think that regionals... You know, it doesn't have the full gamut that the games has. It doesn't have the long stuff. It doesn't have the endurance stuff. It doesn't have Murph in the sun and the heat, you know. One athlete that we saw kind of rise this year that I really look for to make a push is Gudmundsson.
Yeah.
From Europe.
Yeah, the Meridian region.
Because he was fourth at the games last year, kind of an unknown. Showed up, did the open announcement with Dan Bailey, stayed right with him. And this year... he kind of annihilated all the men in Europe.
Yeah, quick little piece of trivia, okay, about Gudmundsson. So I need somebody who is not, like, first-generation European who can spell his name without looking at it, right? That would be Blair. I think Blair might be able to do it.
No way.
No way? What do you think it is?
His last name?
His last name. That's it.
Well, the third letter, it's G-U. The third letter is not a... Real, it looks like a D, but it's not.
Well, I'm going to give you credit for that then, because that's good. So okay. Then what's the next letter?
M.
Yeah.
U-N-S-S-O-N.
Mm-hmm. Fail.
Fail?
You missed the D before Goodman. You didn't say the D. You said G-U, weird letter, M-U-N-S-S-O-N.
There's a D, then a weird letter?
No, there's a D before the S-S.
Gudmundsson. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Ooh,
control. That was close, man. I wasn't trying to stump you. I actually believed in you.
Yeah, I should have got that.
Yeah.
Well.
But no, he did. He did.
There's
really,
always
really
next
good.
Year for the spelling.
For the spelling contest.
I'll start training.
Yeah, the second annual BTB spelling contest. If you want to be a contestant, just send us an email.
What do you think about that, though? Do you like that call? Do you think he's gonna? Because it feels like he's so durable.
Right.
You know.
He just missed the podium right last year. The one thing is he didn't really have to push hard, right, on event 7. So I look at his time of 2:59, essentially 3 minutes, much slower than, you know, the top finishers in the other regions. But, right. You know, again, we don't have a lot on the line. It's hard to push. You know, he was going to go. I think he could have taken dead last in that workout.
Still gone.
And still gone, right? So it's tough to say. But I think he finished... regional Nate, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean...
Not many people did that.
No, and he's strong. He finished the snatch ladder, right?
Right.
So, I don't know. I like the fact that he crushed event 5, because I hate that workout. So, you know...
That's the running deadlift?
Yeah, the running deadlift workout. Yeah. So, he's got that maybe like endurance towards those heavier movements.
Well, he
right?
won Murph by a long landslide.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, I think his time last year was like 38 minutes,
which is insane.
Yeah.
I just did Murph with the vest partitioned, and I'm really good at that workout. And I was like just under 36 minutes.
Right.
And that's mixing up the reps however I wanted to.
Yeah.
Not on a burning hot rig out in the sun. Like that's insane.
It is insane. What do you think you'd finish that workout in if you did it game style, maybe in that environment?
In games condition?
Yeah.
Out there? Dude, I don't know. I would say I'd have to add at least 5 minutes to my time, so probably just over 40.
Right. How do you think doing the last 300 squats in a row and then going to the run for your final mile would affect you? Do you think that would affect you much? I know that we've talked a little bit about your ability to get out and just kind of stride out a little bit. Do you think that would affect you a lot, or do you think that most of it would be like in the push-ups and the pull-ups?
I think most of it would be in the push-ups.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think the squats, I mean, nobody's running fast that first quarter mile anyways, no matter how they do the workout, because it's so hot. You're just overheating in that vest. That's what I felt.
Right.
Like, I dumped a huge thing of water on my head as I left the door, and it was like oasis. It was amazing.
Yeah. So I think Goodmanson is a good call for somebody who could...
Dark horse, man. Yeah. Like, everybody's going to talk about Ben. Everybody's going to talk about Frazier, like them kind of like rivalry going back and forth again. And if Ben's healthy, like... I like the chances of that happening. Thing is, he comes in nicked up a lot. He said last year was the first year he'd felt healthy, like no sprained ankles, no nothing in a long time. So who's to say that he doesn't come in a little bit beat up, you know? He's still good enough to be top 10, but, you know, to stick with a guy like Frazier, I think you got to be at the top of your game.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's one thing, like you said about Ben, he's injured a lot, but I've gotten word from him that he's 100%. So post regionals feels good. So
he looked so good.
He looked great, right? He looked really, really good. You know, one thing I want to talk about is Jacob Heppner. Did you watch Heppner at all?
Didn't watch him.
So he had a tough time on day one, right? But then he crushed day two and day three, right? And did a really, really good job in the, I think it was the Central Regional. No, excuse me. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and he ended up climbing up to second place. So he had a 24th and a 7th on day 1 and 2, and then he got second, first, second, right? It's like boom, 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 right?
He's a volume guy, too.
He is a volume guy, right? And somebody reached out to me. They're going to remain nameless just right now just because I'm going to take apart their argument, not because I don't like Jacob Heppner, but because they compared Jacob Heppner to Matt Frazier. Right. And said, hey, if you put Frazier's numbers on top, yes, you got to give away that day one and day two because he's, you know, he didn't do very good. I mean, day one, excuse me. But on events 3, 4, 5, and 6, he beat Matt Frazier.
On all those events?
Yeah. And Frazier had that really dominating performance. Yeah. Jacob Heppner, you could maybe say potentially more dominating if he was over there in that region.
You're saying the regionals, right? The regions weren't stacked evenly.
Right. Yeah. And so, I said, I like him too, you know, to this person. I said, I really like Jacob Heppner. I like the way he carries himself. I like what he stands for. I like the way he works out. I like volume, right?
Yeah, you guys are like two peas in a pod.
Yeah, right. But he's a little better than I am, but definitely, definitely. And he said, hey, I think that he's going to make a push for the games. I think he's going to do better than Frazier was
the games.
Right. That's what somebody said to me. And I had to put on my thinking cap for a second, but. We have to remember, you know, sometimes people will be really quick to draw those. And I'm not comparing Heppner and Frazier at this point, but basically people will put two athletes together that aren't competing against each other directly and try to figure out who's winning, right? It's like a fun thing to do, like Jordan versus LeBron or something like that in their prime or,
right.
You know what I mean? It's like really fun to do.
It's an impossible comparison, but it's really fun to do.
Yeah. So my feeling is with Frazier, I really still feel like Frazier's one of the top guys that we're looking at, right? I mean, like one or two. Like, I think he's
the best.
Right. Exactly. I mean, he's right there, right?
Yeah.
So Heppner, I think, is a top 10 guy. I really do think that, but I don't think he's that top 1, 2, or 3 guy. That's just my opinion. But when Frazier is winning every event by a lot on some of his workouts, it's hard to say that if Heppner was right next to him, that he wouldn't be able to go any faster. Right. Where Heppner had the Central Regional guys around him. Like, I mean, the 9th place guy was Graham Holmberg.
I know that regional was so stacked.
Right. The 9th place. Right. Like the 17th or 18th place guy was Nick Uranker. Right. So every workout you're digging, just trying to beat the guy next to you. Right. Where Frazier's like, he's in a world of his own, just out there, just crushing it. So sometimes when you draw these comparisons, you have to look at the environment they're in, the variables that are causing them to push. Because had Frazier been in that regional, I personally think that Frazier would have won that regional as well and gotten first place in a lot of those workouts just because if he had people to push him. Right.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think it's fair. So anyway.
And you're going to find out. That's a great part about it. You get to see all these guys show up in Carson. You know, I'm actually, when I look at the men that qualified and the women that qualified, I am more interested in the women.
Yeah.
I think that storyline is going to be phenomenal this year.
Right.
I mean, right now, coming off of last year, Ben and Frazier had a great duel at the end, and Frazier kind of had the thing all weekend, and Ben just took it from him at the end. But, and not to take anything away from Ben, because he deserved it, and he earned it.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, Frazier made some mistakes. You know, he made some, didn't know how to, he'd never flipped a tire before.
Right.
So he didn't know how to flip the pig, and that's all that was a tall tire flip. And he didn't know how to do it. Same, it's like shades of 2010 when Froning didn't know how to climb a rope with his feet.
Do you think that something like, I think Frazier's got kind of shorter arms. Does he have shorter arms? He seems like a shorter kind of like.
He's a shorter, stockier guy.
Do you think he's going to kind of struggle with things like a pig compared to Ben in general, even once he.
Absolutely. I mean, height makes a huge difference. But, dude, not that big a struggle.
Right, yeah.
He was like last in that heat. He was just getting destroyed by it. That's a learning thing. That's a technique thing. He's so strong. He can flip a tire. He just needed to learn how to need to know how to do it.
Yeah.
But on the women's side, you got returning champ David's daughter, who looked great, top form in the East, and then you have Annie Thor's daughter, like the, you know, the original Icelandic queen, who's just going blow for blow with
Sigmund's daughter,
who was what, the second place finisher last year.
Yep.
I mean,
and she almost had that wrapped up.
She had that wrapped up.
Right, but then Katrin came and took that from her. Like, there's just...
Dude, so those three girls, I mean, they're out for blood. Like, yeah. I know them, you know, decently well. Not Sarah, but Annie and Katrin, and they're competitive as they get. Like, they are really competitive with each other. So that's going to be really fun to watch. Then you got Sam Briggs, who always has a chip on her shoulder.
Well, and the thing about, like, Sam...
And Cara Webb, who can't stop getting hurt at the games. If she stays healthy, I mean, just those five girls right there, that's...
Yeah.
That's not even counting Camille and some of the other people who are going to be there. Like,
well, what's funny is we're talking about five foreign compared to, you know, wait, they're not U.S. women, right? Katrin, yes, she competed out of the East Regional, but.
She's Icelandic.
She's Icelandic, right? We're not. I think she still has it next to her name, is the Icelandic flag and the little, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The lineup, right? Which only makes sense. But like we were talking about the game scoring system earlier, you know, if Sam wins a couple workouts, because she absolutely has that capability to win a workout, right? Like an endurance workout, win. Like her Murph time last year was like 30 seconds slower than Goodmanson.
I know, she's such an engine, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's just insane.
But the heavyweights, they just get her. They got her in regionals too. She, I mean, rattle off like her placings. I mean, she was something like 20th or 20, even worse than that, on the snatch ladder. And then she was just like second,
yeah,
seventh. I don't even know.
Well, I mean, so she was 25th on the snatch ladder.
Right, which is, I mean, near the bottom.
Yeah, it is near the bottom. And then she had a seventh, a third, a first, a second, an eighth, and a first. Right?
Yeah. I mean, she wins multiple workouts. But you look up at the top of that line with Annie and Sarah, and they don't have anything in the 20s. They don't have anything in the teens even. They're just like crushing everything. So I think, I
mean, Sarah 1-2-2-5-1-3-3.
I mean, so good.
Sounds like a second grader, like, or first grader trying to like count to five. Right. You know.
And what's
mean?
Another difference there? She's 22, or 21, or whatever she is. Sam's our age.
Yeah.
So you got to think
Sarah's older. She's 23.
23.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No, Sam is. She's old. She's like us.
She's in her 30s. Yeah. So it's like, though the games is so grueling, you got to, if you had to give an advantage there, you give it to the younger athlete.
Right. Yeah. I think that we've seen the heavy snatch, right, at last year's games and then this year's regional. Maybe Sam will be able to avoid that heavy snatch. And if there's no heavy snatch, now all of a sudden she's really, really competitive with those girls, right?
That's true.
Or if one of them has a really bad workout, like if there's something that's maybe those girls' Achilles, right, heel, and then they have a bad finish, right? I don't see Sigmund's daughter necessarily having that, but maybe Annie having like a workout that just really gives her a lot of problems. So now all of a sudden, if they both are trading bad workouts, right? So there's just like a lot of drama to be seen, to still unfold, I guess.
How many men, how many women do you think have a realistic chance to win the CrossFit Games when you look at the people that have qualified?
I feel like on the women's side, it's a little bit bigger pool.
So do I.
Right? It's a little bit bigger pool because women have a tendency to have a weakness in one area, so that big point gaps can be made and big point swings can happen the other way as well. Right? Where a lot of times with the guys, there's not as much variation. So it's the guys who are finishing first and second in all these workouts and regionals, right? They're going to be the guys who are going to be crushing the games, where, you know, like we just talked about with Sam, she can win a ton of workouts and she could also lose workouts, you know, pretty badly. But that doesn't make her not dangerous. That makes her very dangerous.
Right. That doesn't mean she can't win the games.
Exactly. Which we know she can win the games because she has won the games, right? And Sigmund's daughter's never won the games. Cara Webb's never won the games. But those girls are in the contention because of what they can do.
All right. I'm going to give you... I think there are... I gave you the five girls, I think. I think those five girls can win the games.
Annie, Sam, Sarah,
Cara, Katrin. Those are the five. I don't think anybody outside of those five people has you know, let's say a better than, you know, 10-1 shot to win. Let's say all those girls, if you were in Vegas, would be inside 10-1 odds. I don't know who the favorite is. I would probably say Sarah Sigmund's daughter is the favorite.
I would have to throw one more name into the mix, and it'd be Camille. I think Camille has a shot to win the games again. I feel like she's good enough. You know, I feel like she's good enough, and her gymnastics are really strong. I think her worst workout was in the deadlift workout.
I don't think she likes the long stuff, man.
She definitely doesn't.
You know, she doesn't like the swimming. She doesn't like the long endurance stuff. That year that she won it, I don't know. She was amazing that year, and like I was so impressed with her. And not to say that she can't do it again. I would say she's, if I were making the odds, I'd say she's outside 10-1.
Outside 10-1. Yeah.
But she's a past champion, so you can't like.
Exactly. She knows what it's like to win. And I feel like when you know that, you're always dangerous. I definitely think the five girls that you mentioned have a much better shot. Right. But, you know, if I was just throwing another name in there just for the sake of conversation, I'd say it's her.
Yeah. On the men's side, I'm not sure there's five that I could name that I think have a real chance. I think Ben does.
Yeah.
I think Fraser does. I think Josh Bridges does. Can you think of anybody else to beat those guys?
I'm really, really surprised you threw Josh's name in there until I thought about it for 1 second. And then I go, wow, I didn't even think of that. And Josh is a really, really good pick. I don't think you could call Josh a dark horse, but I think it's fair to say he's kind of a dark horse just because he hasn't been able to.
What's been his Achilles heel?
The strength stuff.
And what did he do this year?
Oh, he destroyed it.
Destroyed the strength stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was very cool to watch. Yeah. Actually, it was fun to.
Unbroken on the 405 deadlifts. Unbroken on the 225 overhead squats. Finished the snatch ladder.
Yep.
The guy is on a mission. I think that's always been his big point, you know, big point failures.
And if there's one guy that wants it as bad as Fraser, it's Bridges, right?
Yeah.
Like Bridges, when he gets the chance to talk about it, he's talking about winning. He's talking about wanting it. He's talking about proving it, right? Fraser does the same thing. He just had a little bit more of a voice over the last couple of years because of what he's done 2 years in a row. But if there's a guy who wants it just as bad, it's Bridges.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of somebody else.
Like if Bridges goes and takes fifth, he's not happy, right, at the games, right?
He's just so intense.
He's so intense, right? He's going to be pissed, right? So he wants to win. So...
Yeah, I mean Pancik is always there in the top 10. Dan Bailey is always there in the top 10, right? But I just don't know if I see those guys winning.
Right.
You know, like winning.
Goodmanson, you mentioned him.
Goodmanson would be the next guy out. I think he's a dark horse because he's only his second year at the games. Like, he's a he's a huge engine. He's like Briggs, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, who knows what he's going to be able to do? And he's so durable.
Right.
So I would say those three guys, maybe Goodmanson as a third A, you know, next tier down, a dark horse.
Yeah. I mean, I really feel like Bridges is much more polished this year. Like, you know, he just seems on. And so if he's healthy, gosh, that's a really good three-way, you know.
Could be a great battle, man.
Yeah. If it shapes up that way, that would be amazing.
What about on the team side? You got any favorites on the teams?
You know, I haven't watched much of the team. I was following Tie-Dye Nation really closely. And when they didn't make the games, I kind of just stopped following the team side.
Yeah, I just kind of lost interest.
Yeah. No, I actually had some time to watch the teams, and I did watch I obviously watched Mayhem because they were just fun to watch because of Rich and Lindy.
They looked better than everybody else.
They look way better.
They looked the way NorCal looked last year. Like, they're kind of doing this thing different than everybody else is. So I would say they have to be a prohibitive favorite to repeat.
Yeah. I don't know what prohibitive means, but I agree. 100%.
A clear favorite.
Yeah. Yes. I prohibitively agree. and then yeah. I think on the only other team is that CrossFit Yas team, right, from the Meridian. They took second, but they've got that girl on their team that took first in the open.
Right.
Right? So
yeah,
whatever that girl's name is, I can't remember. Right. I should remember that stuff.
She was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like Mayhem. I think that's an easy pick. Rich just doesn't know how to do anything except win.
Jamie Green. That's the name.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Other couple names throw out there to watch. I mean, from our region, 808 was fourth at the games last year. They have the horses to do it every year because their girls are so good.
Yeah.
Like, they have, you know, usually the best girls of anybody in the world. Diablo looked really good this year.
But Diablo dominated our region.
But, dude, they do that a lot, you know?
They do.
And then the games is a different animal. But they're a solid team. They're always going to be around, kind of hunting around the top 10. I know Dynamics was a team out of the East with Christian Harris, Andrea Ager. They were pretty loaded.
Oh, yeah.
So keep an eye on them. But, yeah, it's got to be Mayhem as the top dog, I think.
Hmm.
And a lot of teams are gone this year that were there last year. Like, NorCal is not around. Ute.
Where's Ute?
Ute didn't have a team this year.
Tommy or somebody from Ute, like, yeah. Let us know what's up.
I mean, I know Brendan moved to Brazil, and Adrian's
doing...
Yeah,
Brendan, what are you doing in Brazil, bro?
The individual. Things change, but there's a lot of teams that were traditional powers, if you can say that, in CrossFit, traditional, you know, for a couple of years, but they're not there this year.
I don't know why that is. Is it maybe the draw on the team side still, right, obviously isn't the same as the individual side, and people can move around, and it's not that big of a deal? If
I think it's more moving parts. It's hard to get six people to stay together, you know, because one person might be having a baby, another person might be wanting to go individual, another person might be moving for a job. There's just a bunch of different things to stick together, you know, which is hard.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's very true. You know, I did want to just kind of throw out there in the West Regional, you know, we saw that regional, and you and I both kind of talked about it a little bit off air, that it was not the strongest region. We'd venture to say it might be.
It looked like the weakest region.
It looked like
me.
The weakest, but then you have the Pacific Regional, right? Not really knowing those guys, because, you know, Coles went to the games before and done pretty well. So you have, like,
in the West
region, right?
Yeah.
So it's not that the region has bad athletes.
Like, it's just not that
at the
deep.
Top, but it's just not that deep. Exactly. Yeah.
I
right?
felt the same way. The West and the Pacific both have star power, but
for
not
sure.
that, there's not that much depth.
Yeah.
Which doesn't really matter, you know, unless you're an athlete who took, like, you're Graham Holmberg, you took ninth, and you're like, dude, my scores would have put me in second, you know, in some of these other regions. My team, dude, this is a crazy thing. Going into, like, the final day, Tie-Dye Nation, which was 10th in the California region overall,
right,
would have been first in the Pacific region.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, the team depth, that's another thing that's way different across regions. Like, regions that are kind of more mature, like California, which has gyms that have been around for a long time, bring up multiple athletes. The team depth in the California region was really, really impressive. And that's you can see a big difference there across the world as well.
Yeah, you know, the other guy actually in the West region, I mean, there's a few guys. Ben Stoneberg's been to the games before.
He's a stud.
Yeah, Lucas Parker, right? I don't know this guy, Sam Quant, but maybe we'll get to know him after the game, so we'll kind of know who he is. But the guy who took first in that region, Brent Fikowski, right?
Another guy, super motivated, on a mission, right?
Totally, right? He's been getting just killed by heavyweights the last 2 years, right? But the guy's got a motor. I don't know if you saw any of his workouts, but he'd finish workouts that did not require heavy loading, and he would just walk across the finish line and be fine. Like, he was fine, right? Like, I remember those workouts. I did not feel like him, and I took 2 minutes longer, right? He was fine. And then on the snatch ladder, 731.
So he's pretty strong now.
He's getting stronger, you know. Event 5, granted that was a lot of motor, 1320. Took third on that workout.
Right.
You know, so.
And he's missed it by 1 point the last 2 years, right?
So yeah.
Hopefully he's not satisfied with just getting there.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like that kind of guy. I don't think that anybody on the men's side and that who finished one or two, you know, even some guys further back, but it seems like a lot of guys do want to go to the games and do well. Right, like it seemed like for a while it was like you go to the games. Hey, man, you get to go to the games. That's cool, right? Some people would fall in that category if they made it, you know. But
that's how I remember it.
Yeah.
Every time I qualified, I was just like, that was it. It was no pressure. It was awesome. And even when I was doing well over the weekend, it's like, man, I'm just happy to be here. And maybe that was my fault for not like believing that I could win or whatever. But I think that's almost a better mindset to have for such a long, grueling weekend, just like to try to stay relaxed and not to put so much pressure on yourself for every placing. However, I think what you're getting at is this is becoming more and more professional, and you have to expect big things from yourself if you're going to achieve them. And the guys at the top do. Ben's going there to win. Fraser's going there to win. You know, Noah Olsen's going there to win. Like all these guys that keep showing up in the top 10, like Bridges, he's going there to win.
Absolutely.
If you're not going there to win, you've already lost.
Yeah. I don't think somebody's going to accidentally win on that men's side, right? Like,
no.
Oh, I just came here to have fun, and you know what? You're talking about me at the end of the weekend, and I'm wearing the white shirt, and I'm walking home with $275,000. Not going to happen.
No, and that's another reason why I think there's only a few guys that really you could really put money on.
Right.
You know? Because there's only a couple guys that are that good and that confident and that experienced. The women, there's a few more. But still, it's a select group. And it's just crazy to think about that with all the amazing athletes and performers and things that we saw over the course of the regional, you know, the month of regionals, that it's really just going to boil down to these people. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope there is somebody who comes out of nowhere, kind of like Sigmund's daughter did last year, and is just slaying people.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
It was
Nobody
really cool.
was going to pick her.
No.
And she, dude, she had it. She just didn't know how to climb a pegboard.
I think 2 years ago, Noah did that, right? Like, people were like, man, this kid's wearing the white shirt on day two. Like, I mean, day three, whatever it was. Whatever the second to last day was.
Yeah, second to last day.
Yeah, and then he woke up and he was wearing it, but then he didn't do so well on that workout. But
right. Anyway,
what I'm saying is like, it's really fun to hear these new names and just see what's going to happen. Because although we're speculating, you know, we're usually right. We're usually right.
We know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Ask my wife. She knows. I'm usually right. But the reality is anything can happen. And the workouts, we have no idea what Dave's got planned. Because when I see these regional workouts, dude, I'm like, man, what's the games going to look like? Because if we're already having 405 deadlifts, right? If we're already having 225-pound overhead squats for 15 reps in a workout, I mean.
I don't think it's going to be heavier. It's just going to be more.
Right.
More of it. Hopefully they learn from last year and don't have like the outdoor Murph type workout middle of the day.
Yeah. I don't like seeing athletes night. Go down.
No.
Right. Like
no.
That's not fun. Like I like seeing the field full, everybody able to compete, but like for sure you can make people all dress in black and then run across the desert and be like, oh yeah, whoever wins is the fittest. You know, it's like, and then 10 people drop off, but that's not really fun.
There's
to
other
watch.
Ways to do that.
Yeah. There's other ways to do that for sure. Yeah. So
I would love to see pegboard back again, but maybe earlier in the weekend. I would love to see – I love the way they keep doing the bring-back workouts. Excited to see what they bring back this year. I mean, I can't wait, man. It's going to be a great weekend.
What do you think if they bring back those two final chippers, right? The two final pedal to the metal one and pedal to the metal two.
From last year?
From last year. And they did those like on day, like on Friday night.
That'd be great.
Yeah, right. So you see those pegboards early in the early. And you see, you know, that deadlift seems heavy, but, you know, those heavy kettlebells. But we just did 405 deadlifts at regional. So let's just get it out of the way early and see some of that.
I think that'd be cool.
See that fireworks. Anyway, lot to look forward to as we approach the games. And, yeah, what more can I say? I'm just really looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing it in person.
Yeah. Make sure you guys subscribe to us on iTunes so you can get all our episodes fresh off the presses. We're going to have some cool interviews approaching the games. Little BTB road trip, hopefully. So look for us there. And if you guys have any questions or any requests, hit us up on Instagram at BTB Podcast.
And if you guys have been listening to our show for any length of time and listen to, say, more than five shows, go to iTunes and just give us a 5-star rating. We'd greatly appreciate it.